We're studying about the end times, Islam, and the Jews, and what shall happen to them in the last times. We're studying the Gospel of Mark from the original Greek language. We read it in Greek, and we will translate it into English, bring you some of the word pictures. We have studied all the way to the 13th chapter of Mark up until verse number 30, and we're going to take off just on verse number 30 today, and then we're going to go to the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, because the 13th chapter of Mark is like the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Amen lego hemen hote u me parelte he ganea halte mekris u tata panta genete. It's what it reads in Greek. Amen, I say to you, or truly I say to you, and continue to say to you, it's first person singular, present, indicative, active, to you all that know not, it may be caused to pass away this generation until these things all, each one, may come to pass. And we're talked about what was happening. The tribulation period is coming upon the Jews to bring them back to God. The Jewish people are at enmity with God. God scattered them when they crucified their Messiah King. God scattered them, Ezekiel 36:16-19, throughout the world. And they were a curse and a blessing in every nation where they went. When you see these things, it says, begin to come to pass, that the last things, now the Jews are going to go back to the land and be regathered, Ezekiel 36:20-24. When you see this take place, that you know that sometime in the future, God is going to deal with the Jews. The Jews are like a thermometer. I got a thermometer up here. It says John Deere on it. And it says it's 75 degrees in this here little cabin that we're in. I know it's 75 degrees. I got a little fire going over here and the wood burning cook stove. And that thermometer tells me how warm it is in here. Now, Israel is a thermometer of eschatology. God says that he's going to bring them back into the land, which he did. He used Hitler. He used many, many things to bring about Israel being in the land. Zionism. The Jews and the Arabs don't get along, as you know. They never have. Now we have in the Arab world, and actually in all the world, we have an infection, a religious infection. It's actually not religious, but a political force. It is a church-state situation that Muhammad borrowed from Catholicism in that time after Constantine made the church and the state one. The church and the state in the New Testament time is not an entity of God. Baptists, through all ages, from the Sea of Galilee onward, stood for separation of church and state. When Catholicism came on the scene, Baptists died by the thousands and millions. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians in her escapade of violence, with conversion by the sword, the Inquisition, stamping out the Word of God. Satan has used many organizations to do this. And we have Muhammad born in 570 A.D. By 632 A.D., he had established a religion. Not really. but a political government, Sharia law, that would go out to all the world for 1,400 years. 1,400 years, Islam has been a religion of violence. For over 1,000 years, Catholicism was a religion of violence. They're twin sisters. The Bible has a lot to say about the end times. In the book of Daniel, it tells about the whole, well, even in the book of Genesis, in the 9th chapter, verses 25 onward, we have a history of the world rehearsed in that. A few verses. Noah's prophecy. In the book of Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Malachi, these eschatological verses in these books tell us a lot about what's going to happen in the world. We're going to read from the book of Daniel today, and we're going to read from the book of Revelation first. Muhammad, in his writings, well, in his verbal displays, which people supposedly wrote down, he rehearsed what is called the Quran, which is supposed to be the very words of God. If you read the book by Ibn Ishaq, The Life of Muhammad, the Apostle of God, you will see why every verse came down. You'll find out why every verse came down. It was applicable to Muhammad's life at the time. The so-called verses that came down when he was in Mecca, he was less violent than he was later in life. Before he died, he declared war on all the religions of the world and on the world. And he said he wanted his disciples to perform jihad until the world was converted to Islam. In the end times, I've told you, and I will repeat again, that the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Hadith have a beast. They have a prophet called Mahdi, and they have Isa, the Jesus of Islam. In the Bible, we have Jesus, the Son of God, Jehovah, the Old Testament. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. And we're going to read that. Now, all Muslims want to be marked by the beast. The beast is going to come out of Arabia. The Mahdi, which will be a direct descendant of Muhammad and the incarnation of him, will come out of Syria. And then Isa will come on the scene, the Jesus of Islam. The Jesus of Islam and the Jesus of the Bible are diametrically opposed. The Mahdi is going to kill all the Jews. That's his purpose. And after he kills all the Jews, he's going to kill all the Christians and bring the world under Islam, under subjection. That's the purpose of Islam today. They will tell you there's no coercion in religion. But that was abrogated by Muhammad later. When he said there is no coercion in religion, that was when he was in Mecca. But all of the verses that he received later abrogated or replaced those because Allah changed his mind. So when they say that that Islam does not force conversion, that's a lie. Islam is the only religion in the world that has a propaganda machine to tell you that they don't believe what they believe and that they don't practice what they practice. Let me say that one more time. It is a propaganda machine telling you that they don't believe what they believe. They don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. In every country in the world, Islam, every time they build a mosque, that is a caliphate. It is a nation within a nation. And we see that in America. We see it in Great Britain. We see it anywhere they are. France, Germany. Wherever they are, they want to be under Sharia law, and they want all nations and to be Sharia compliant. In other words, let them do what they're going to do, and they will not obey the constitution of any country they're in. The beast, according to Islam, will mark every true believer with a mark that entitles them as a person, as a citizen of Islam, of the last caliphate. The caliphate in Turkey dissolved in 1920-something. They have tried ever since then to revise the caliphate. And the Mahdi is going to go forth and to revise the caliphate. Islam will tell you how much peace there was in the Middle East when they were under the Ottoman Empire. Peace. Everybody that wasn't a Muslim had to pay a tax because they weren't a Muslim. They could not openly practice their religions at all. Look how many millions of people died in Turkey alone when Islam took over. How many millions died in Egypt when Islam took over? How many millions of people and thousands of people died in Lebanon when Islam took over? It is a violent religion. George Bush will tell you no. Every president except Trump will tell you the same thing, that Islam is a peaceful religion. I want to read to you the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter. As I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. Now the sea there is a people. His people. With 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns he had 10 royal diadems and blasphemous titles and names on his heads. Now, every jihadist has on his head a banner that says, "There is no God but Allah. He has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger." All of that is blasphemy to God. It replaces the God of heaven. There is no God but Allah, and he has no Jesus. He has no son. The Son of God is that person which will bring all the world to peace with God again. And Muhammad got rid of him and replaced him with himself. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him the dragon gave his own might and power, and his own throne and great dominion, and one of the heads seemed to have a deadly wound. There have been 7 great empires in the world, beginning and coming down, and we see the empires of the book of Daniel and Revelation. That seventh empire is a revision of the sixth empire, which was the Ottoman Empire, which was the Caliphate. It seemed to have died, but it revived. I won't go into each one of these nations and who they were at this time, but the Roman Empire gave way to the Islamic Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire, the Caliphate, was dissolved in 1920-something, and it shall rise again. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. If you're a Muslim, you have to read and pray in Arabic, even though you don't know it. If you read the Quran, which I've read several times, they say you cannot interpret it, you cannot understand it at all. It's not understandable. Except with the Sunnah and the Hadith and some of their clerics. They have to lead you and tell you what it means. The Bible is a book that you can read. Now, it's in Greek and Hebrew, yes. But there are translations of it. Not perfect, but you can read it, and you can understand the things of God. You can get saved. You can know who you are, know who God is, with the translations. They fell down and did homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. The dragon is the devil, you know. According to Genesis, the 3rd chapter and verse 15, that devil is going to have a child. And he's going to be the Antichrist of the book of Revelation, the false prophet of the book of Revelation. We're going to see him. And the beast and all his dominion and authority, they appraise and worship the beast, exclaiming, who is to match the beast and who can make war against him? The beast of Islam is going to be a very unusual looking beast. He's going to come out of Arabia. And he's going to kill and maim all of those who will not bow the knee to Allah and Muhammad. They say that Islam says that they do not worship a man. Muhammad is not who they worship, but you say one thing against him, you print something in a newspaper and you will die. They will kill you, or they will try to do it. And the beast was given power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words, and he was given freedom to exert his authority and exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. That's his 3.5 years right here. The book of Revelation is divided into 2 3.5 years. The Mahdi is supposed to rule for 7 years. The beast of Revelation and the Antichrist is supposed to rule for 7 years. Everything that's good in the Bible is bad in Islam. Everything that's bad in, that is good in Islam is bad in the Bible. The beast is a terrible thing. The beast is what's going to mark all of the believers in the Antichrist. And he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name, his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. And he was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, and we're talking about the Jews here. The Jews, Israel. And to overcome them. Now, in the book of Revelation, it tells that 5 out of every 6 Gentiles are going to die, and 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die, but there's going to be a remnant of the Jews left alive that God will protect in the second half of the book of Revelation. And they will know that this is going to take place because they will see the abomination desolation standing in the holy place. Now, Islam says they're going to move the Kaaba from Mecca to Jerusalem. They're going to build a temple there. Also, the Sunnah say, and the Hadith and the Quran say that the false Messiah, the Mahdi, is going to make a covenant with the Jews. The book of Revelation says that this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years. But he's going to dissolve it in the middle of the week. Muhammad made many, many, many covenants or contracts or whatever with people and nations only till he got strong enough, and then he would abrogate it. He would nullify it. He was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people and to overcome them. The power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Daniel 7:21-25. And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. Now, Islam is a religion where you have to get down and bow. Now, the book of Revelation talks about people being beheaded. Islam's form of execution is beheading. All the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration, pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded from the foundation of the world in the book of life. And of the lamb that was slain and sacrificed on the foundation of the world. If anyone is able to hear, let him hear. Whoever leads into captivity, himself will go into captivity. If anyone slays with a sword, he must be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and the fidelity of the nation of Israel, God's people. I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. He spoke like and roared like a dragon, and he exerts all the power and right and control over the former beast and his present, and causes the earth and those who dwell upon the earth to exalt and deify the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. He performs great signs and startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. And we saw this also in the 10 plagues of Egypt. And we saw it in Jannes and Jambres that stood and withstood Moses and Aaron. And because the signs and miracles which he allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceived those who inhabited the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image to the likeness of the beast, which was wounded by the small sword and still lived. And he was prepared also to impart the breath of life into the beast image, so that the statue of the beast could actually talk, and to cause it to be put to death those who do not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Also, he compels all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked. The beast of Islam will mark all the true believers of Islam. All of the Islamic people, all of the Muslims want to have the mark of the beast. Islam is the only religion that puts out a propaganda machine trying to say that they don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. But here is what they will practice. Both free and slave to be marked with an inscription on their right hands and on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp of the mark inscription, that is, the name of the beast and the number of his name. The name of the beast is the authority. The confession of faith of Islam is, there is no God but Allah, he has no companion, no Jesus, no son, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. That's the inscription here, people. Here is room for discernment, for call to wisdom and interpretation. Let him who has intelligence, penetration, and insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. The number of a certain man. The number is 666. Man, man, man. Man, man, man. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to you this day. Father, I pray that if one out there doesn't know you, that they will learn to lean upon you and to come to you before it's forever too late. Thank you for your word to warn us of these things. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you give us. The breath of life, the freedom to say what we can say this day for now, because we know it will not carry on for a long time. There won't be any freedom of speech during this period of time. There's no freedom of speech in any Islamic nation today. All the world will go after that image one of these days, and there will be no freedom. Father, thank you for this moment, this time of freedom. I pray, Father, if one out there that is saved and not serving you, that they will give their life to you, that they will follow you with their lives. I pray that they'll come to know you, your Son, as Savior, that he did die for us, he was buried, that he rose on the third day, that he died for our sins and was raised for our justification, that he lives forevermore to make intercession for us, and we need it. Father, forgive us for your failure. Forgive me of my shortcomings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.